Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's Greg Williams. No muss, no fuss. Just a straight dope from Greg Williams. You want smoke? He's got it. Jonathan Wells has it. Anthony Lima has it. Everybody has it. Everybody's excited.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped because last week, I'll tell you, a lot of it got taken out of that game because of what happened the week before against Houston. So I even came on the air and I said, playoffs are done. I mean, let's stop deluding ourselves with playoffs. Mm-hmm. And still, the playoffs are insanely small percentage because of what needs to go their way. But we know they're going to beat Cincinnati next week. And then it sets up a final season showdown.
Guaranteeing that.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Totally guaranteed. That team wants to lose. They don't want any part of that. They're done. The Hugh Jackson playing the role, spoiler, don't see it happen.
Should I tell you again? Because I only told you in the open of the show a couple of days ago, and maybe not everybody was listening. From what I'm told, there have been assistant coaches in Cincinnati who have already gone in to talk to Hugh Jackson about staying on staff.
Mm-hmm.
Staying on it.
Whoa!
as the head?
Which I am dead ass about that, yes.
I mean, as the head coach.
He's the head coach, yes. They've gone in to kiss the ring.
I heard he's the true puppet master. He is the guy.
They'll be studying Hugh Jackson. I've said this about Donald Trump. They'll be studying Donald Trump for centuries about what he did. They will be studying Hugh Jackson. They'll say, wait a second. When my great-grandfather read to me the stories of this Hugh Jackson, wait, great-great-granddad. He went 0-16 and then got hired again by another NFL team. Yes, we have studied him. We've studied his ways.
If I was in my 20s, I could call it finesse. Because that's exactly what it is. I got to give credit where it's due.
Yes, you do.
Thank God it's not
a hater.
Second time around. My God.
Don't hate the game.
But it's amazing that we mentioned him, and we mentioned him even in jest, and where this franchise is going. Because now they're 5-7-1. They have an opportunity over in Denver. I worry about them on a short week in Denver being a little tight in terms of, you know, we're talking playoffs now and a lot of people are excited. Got to come out and really try to punch Denver in the face because they took a bad loss on Sunday against San Francisco. But Lima, you and I have been trying to evaluate the job that Greg Williams has done, and I think he has done a fine job. And you haven't said he's done a terrible job whatsoever. But in the chances of being the head coach full time or for the next head coach to come in as well, about changing the standard of the Browns and holding them, Jonathan, maybe to a higher standard here, because when we start to really evaluate the football team, I still start off with they were a moribund franchise. Now they got some life breathed into them. But when you look over some of the teams that they've beaten, bad defenses, Cincinnati, you just said already you guarantee a win next week because Cincinnati doesn't even want to win. You got Jeff Driscoll going for them. Not the worst quarterback, certainly not the best. So do I hold this football team to a higher standard? I'm happy with what they've done, but should I be holding them to a higher standard in the terms of getting the very best head coach, getting the very best out of your players, getting the very best in free agency, making yourself better for the future?
Well, yeah, what I've been trying to get at is the coaching staff has done a great job. I know we get in a lot of debates and I talk about Freddie Kitchens, but I have to admit, I mean, come on, he's doing a very good job. Greg Williams is doing a very good job. Kudos to them. With that said, when we evaluate them, we have to evaluate them against the top coaches because you want a top coach. Don't evaluate him against Hugh Jackson or the losses of the last few years and the rebuilding and all of that, because now they've got what we believe to be a franchise quarterback who's played elite level quarterback. So now you got to measure him against the coaches who have those quarterbacks on how they do.
I mean, but my only thing is, who's the guy that's sitting out there that you could just really point to and say, oh, he's just such a great head coach, we got to have him here in Cleveland.
Right. Well,
there's nobody.
So you have to
go by wins and losses.
Yes.
If this guy comes out here and wins 6 out of his last 8 games, who's sitting out there to where you could just say, oh, he can come in here and go 10 and, to, you know, win 12 to 11 games next year? I don't see anybody just out there that's just like that.
But see, I am now going beyond that. I'm going beyond wins and losses now. Let's look at everything. And by the way, clock management's been good. For the most part, they've been more disciplined. You've seen some things here and there on defense, but you know that hey, that's going to happen. I think you have to evaluate everything now beyond just wins and losses because this is all part of the job interview. And I don't think John Dorsey, it's as simple as him looking at the standings and going, oh, okay, you guys went 6-2, I'm keeping you. It has to be more than that. I would expect John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam to do way more than that and way more than just talking to the players. It's got to be a full evaluation of everything because you want the best coach you can possibly get, not just a coach that happens to be here and won some games.
Well, I got to think we got to get this out of our heads because I don't want to focus just on how they start out next year because I know it's going to happen. If they start off 1-2 next year or 0-2 next year at the beginning of that, if you still have Greg Williams, it's going to be what we could have gotten. If you don't have Greg Williams and you have somebody else, what did we give up with Greg Williams here? And one of the questions that was asked me by the New Indians guy, James, because he was in here doing updates yesterday, he goes, would Greg Williams get a job? Would he get an interview with anybody else, a serious public interview with anybody else? And I said, I think if he were to win out or something like that, yes, I think he would. But I also look at the climate. I don't know how realistic it would be because I think everybody's obsessed with an offensive guy. Everybody's obsessed with an offensive guy, and in a subdivision of that, I think everybody's obsessed with getting the next Sean McVay,
besides the Patriots, they still have a defensive coach. And listen, it's all about the offensive coordinator at the end of the day. So if you don't have a head coach who's an offensive guy.
Yeah, but their coach in waiting is supposed to be Josh McDaniels, an offensive guy, quote-unquote coach in waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe so. I mean, listen, like I said, whoever you bring in here next year, if you decide not to keep Greg, you have a 50% chance of them, you know, coming in here and having success. Now you got to change the whole culture. There's just a lot of things that's going to have to change. So now we're going to be back on the bubble. Like, okay, now we're just playing the waiting game. Are they going to come in here and really you turn this thing around? We don't know. I'm going by what I'm seeing today. And what I'm seeing today is these guys have a good nucleus together and they're making things happen. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about Baker Mayfield. If Baker's as comfortable with Freddie Kitchens, then, you know, he has a real shot, I would say.
So the win over Atlanta, that does that set a stage where now you have an expectation? You get what I'm saying? Where Atlanta's a team that's falling apart.
Well, listen,
Carolina's falling apart.
There's been years around here. I don't care if a team was 2-15. We still didn't expect the Browns to win. Now you're at a point to where you're beating teams that are 500. Okay, so you taking that first step.
Yes,
so
you
now you add some luck, some depth in the draft. Mm-hmm. You add some depth in free agency. Now you can start to take that next stride of beating teams who are really legit playoff contenders. And that's what they're doing. You have your quarterback who's coming out here who's getting better every single week. You think about another offseason with Baker, add some more pieces around him, then you have a real shot. So, I mean, I like the nucleus, but once again, I still think they have to win at least two out of these last three games to get a real shot at staying on as head coach.
Yeah, and I didn't just want it to be wins and losses, though. And as much as I'm saying that I think Greg has this slim chance, I don't want to rule him out because they lose the game either. I don't want to rule out Freddie Kitchens just because they lose a game or have a bad half here or there. It has to be a cumulative thing.
This is a league of wins and losses. Like you guys always reminded me when we were talking about the guy in Cincinnati. You always say, listen, it's a wins and losses league. So we have to go by wins and losses. No matter how you're getting it done, if you can get those guys to go out there and perform and win football games, who cares how you're getting it done? I don't.
216-578-0092. I have to agree with Jonathan. I hate to say it. It's like, well, you're in a season where you got nothing to lose, quote unquote. I know I'm not trying to do that again, but you're in a season where you're playing with that house money. You're trying to just make it through. There's been a lot of positive here, but who's going to be the best to lead the team for the future? Are we really getting the very best out of what we're trying to do here? Will we get the very best out of it, out of what we're trying to do here? Meaning, is Greg Williams really the right guy for the future? Will Freddie Kitchens, maybe Freddie Kitchens is the offensive coordinator, but maybe he needs to coach underneath somebody else in that term for the way it is. Because I tell you what, we got the clip and we got into some other things yesterday. Albert Breer and a lot of these other guys out here, these quote-unquote NFL insiders, I shouldn't say that. It sounds like a dig. It's not. But these guys who are insiders, they talk to these people around the league, and it feels like the only people who give Greg Williams any legitimate shot. Lyman and I have stayed open-minded throughout this, but the only people who give him any real legitimate shot to be the head coach full-time in 2019 are Browns fans.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that from the outside
and
looking in.
I don't understand. If they continue to win, if they continue to win, and we got to get to it here, Jonathan, I want your thoughts on this when we come back. If they continue to win, just like what you said, wins and losses, pass, fail, in the words of Mike Pettine, the immortal one, how do I say no to them? How do I do it? If they win out, if they do go 8-7, I'm supposed to look at you and go, no, you're not the guy for the future. That's very difficult. 216-578-0092. More of Jonathan live in studio. More of you guys next on The Fan. That'd be the dumbest thing they could possibly do. If he went 8-7-1 and they missed the playoffs, what if they made the playoffs? Oh, my God. And go, hey, yeah, you're good enough to still be the defensive coordinator. We'd like to keep you on as the defensive coordinator. Good luck with that. Yeah, all those players in that foxhole rallying around him, the first time you made the playoffs in how long? And you're good enough to still be the assistant coach.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And we're going to bring it up. Well. And we may bring in an unproven guy who doesn't have any record
as a
head coach.
Bring his son in to be the defensive coach. But no, I get what you're saying, especially considering, I hate to bring this up, and hopefully it gets better over the next 3 weeks. His defense is statistically not good. So you're gonna have him come back and coach the defense?
I mean, but we can understand why. Like I said, the first 8 weeks of the season, they created the most turnovers in the NFL. They've been badgered by injury. They have no depth. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes into those numbers.
That goes right
But they're winning football games. So what does that really matter? Because they're giving up yards. Who cares?
It goes right back to what we said at the beginning of the season. And Jonathan, you know this. They did not have much depth. And if I look at what they need to do during the offseason, some people are going to kill you for this, or me. Rashad Perriman's done a fine job. Rashard Higgins has done a fine job. I think that's a lot because of Baker Mayfield with those two guys. They just seem to play better with him. My first thoughts are helping out the defense there. No one thought that this was going to be a final project with these guys, with the defense. So you say they're not statistically great. I didn't think they were going to be statistically great at all going into this year.
When you create the amount of turnovers that they create, you don't have to be statistically great because you're taking the ball away.
That is true. Although last week I thought you saw the flip side of the takeaways, which was, and Greg Williams even spoke about this after the game, that they are so focused on takeaways, which is not a bad thing. That they weren't tackling. The tackling last week took a big step back.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. But, you know, when you have a great running back like Christian McCaffrey, that kind of hurts your chances to tackle that guy in open space.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I was at that game. The guy's really shifty. So he's going to make people miss. We get it. But at the same time, you got a gang tackle. You got to swarm to the ball. And I'm sure they'll do a better job of that. But, you know, they're definitely going after that football. And that's been that's been their strength this year on defense. So, you know, if they can keep that up, add some more pieces – I think they can be a really good defense moving forward.
You aren't going to root for the Browns to ever lose, but if you really think that Greg Williams isn't the right guy for this job, if you're out there, you can't be upset if they lose games.
Oof,
not that you're going to root for him
spot.
To lose.
That's tough.
Not that you'll ever root for him to lose, but you can't be upset if they lose games. Because, one, you could say, hey, Baker's still playing well. You could always say Baker's playing well. You got good players there. But if you don't think that Greg Williams is a guy for the job, you can't root for him to lose.
I heard Dustin and Bull say yesterday on their show that they would rather be where we are today than rather have won more games with Hugh Jackson than have Hugh Jackson as the coach.
I heard that. I texted them and said,
they would rather have losses.
God, you brought that up.
Well, here's why I got mad. No, I don't personally think Hugh's a good coach. I know, Jonathan, we've disagreed on this.
No, I don't think – I'm not saying he's a good coach. I was blaming the players.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's a great coach. Obviously, he's not.
Well, if they finish the season 8-5 with Hugh Jackson, let me tell you something. 100% of the people that loved Hugh when they hired him would be back on board.
Of course.
Everybody would be back on board because they'd say, well, you finally gave him a quarterback, and they're finally winning games.
This is true.
Which is supposed to happen.
Which are facts.
And he's developing Baker. You would say all those things. You know me. I think you either have it or you don't at quarterback. But either way, that's what fans would say right now. So I thought they were crazy when they said that. Now it's easy. It's easy now to say, we don't want Hugh no matter what. But
right. But
I'm telling you, if they were winning games and Hugh was running off the field, cocky Hugh, and then saying, I told you guys, you guys would love every minute of it.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, because you're right about that, because you said they could still get rid of him in 6 or 7 games. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go over the whole thing.
Yeah, we did argue that.
But you did say then, you're like, yeah, everybody will still love him, though. You said it the whole time, and I think you're right about that. I think some people are going, well, thank God they lost those games then, so you knew you could get rid of them and we could be better, even though you might be kicking yourself a little bit because you're getting a little closer. It's all going to be in the eye of the beholder on that one. But if you really don't want Greg Williams to be the coach, you can't root for them to lose. You don't want to root for your favorite team to lose, especially when they're just getting the hang on of winning. But You can't be upset because you could always fall back on, hey, Baker's playing well. So-and-so's playing well. They got these pieces. There's just no way I think I could look at this. And I know Albert Breer says what he says, but I'm going to look Greg Williams in the eye if they go 8-7 and they finish on a four-game winning streak. Nah. Really?
It'll be tough to do. But
that's hard.
Know, it's really on all this falls on John Dorsey. Like, if his heart is already set on moving along, nobody really knows what's going to happen here besides John Dorsey. We're all speculating. But at the same time, I mean, the man comes in, like I said, wins 6 out of 8 games. I don't care who they were against. I don't care how bad the defenses were, because the defenses were bad in the beginning of the season, but they lost the games. Mm-hmm. Now they're not only are they winning the games, they're winning the games pretty convincingly now, which is a huge step for this organization. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you got to give the guy props. I have to.
And before I get to the phones here, because I'm about to get to Bill and Parma here very quickly, I don't think that this is just Cleveland. I know I brought up about how anybody outside of Cleveland doesn't think Greg Williams is going to be the head coach of the team, and the reactions to wins and losses. They're doing this in Denver. I was listening to Denver yesterday. Vance Joseph needs to go. I listened to Denver last week. They wanted to keep Vance Joseph. They were 6-6. They lost one game. They're 6-7. Mm-hmm. A bad loss to San Francisco. It's the same old, same old.
Man.
Can't throw it. Can't run it. Defense is still okay. And Vance Joseph's an idiot.
That's fans.
Been saying it all year.
That's fans for you. What have you done for me lately?
Well, the quarterback is Case Keenum, who is not playing as well as he did last year, when he had a whole bunch of things in his favor, including an offensive coordinator that left, ended up going, obviously, Pat Shermer's gone. You see how this works,
though. Yeah, and you undercut me when you were right, because I gave you the whole thing about Myles Garrett, and I was still taking Myles Garrett, and what did I turn around and do about Denver this year? And you caught me on it, and you were right about it. If you're Denver, you spent $18 million on Case Keenum to probably more than likely not make the playoffs. Okay, I know Bradley Chubb's great, but you're not making the playoffs with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, so you're wasting that year with those guys, and they only have a finite amount of time. Say you would have taken, say you would have taken Sam Darnold or something like that. You would have had a better shot for the future. Now you'll finish in the meaty middle, and you'll still have to trade up for a quarterback of some nature like that. And John Elway, who is a legendary quarterback, should be the guy who knows that. At least I could look at Sashi Brown and go, yeah. Ray Farmer, yeah, maybe you don't know about that. John Elway should know about that. Let me get to Bill and Parma. Bill, you're next up on the fan.
Hey, guys. Great program.
Thank you, Bill. Go ahead.
I agree with Jonathan. I think that you guys are trying to look for the shiny object. Just about 4 weeks ago, he was a handsome young guy that was getting ready to become a head coach, and we just couldn't wait to get him. John D. Filippo. He even had three names. He didn't have two names. He had three.
Not
John
this show. Yeah, but we didn't say that, Bill.
Yes, you did. You said he was one of the guys that we should consider.
No, I didn't.
A hot prospect.
No, I didn't. Bill,
let me intervene. I still think it's silly that a bunch of Browns fans said, well, cross him off the list just because he didn't get along with Zimmer and he lost his job.
No, that's not because he didn't get along with Zimmer. Well, because he's been stinking it up.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. Are they stinking it up because maybe the quarterback's just not playing well? He doesn't have Baker Mayfield.
But what we're seeing, Anthony, is you got a lot of excuses for this nice, shiny object. Let's move on, though. I have followed football for a long time, and I was even at the University of Missouri when there was a young assistant coach there who nobody had heard of as a tight ends coach by the name of Andy Reid, and we couldn't figure out why they hired Andy Reid, because he was this kind of overweight guy that just didn't fit into the great coach Bob Stoll, his program there. And the next thing we knew, Andy Reid was at Green Bay. And the next thing we knew, Andy Reid was the head coach of Philadelphia. What we find is that if I ask you guys, and I'm being honest here, in scouting, what they do is they say, give the guy a grade. What is his grade? My impression is, and I'm all for Greg Williams becoming head coach, the worst grade you can give him is a B. Is a B right now.
I give him a good grade. Yeah.
Well, Bill, thank you for the call. I give him a B.
I give him a good grade.
You got to give him a B.
I'd probably give him an A right now.
I'm about to say B plus plus right now.
I'm fine with that. Let me tell you, the next three games
are critical.
You're going to AP classes. Before you're taking, general classes, these next three are AP, because now we've talked about pressure, and we got into a big argument yesterday. Ken, will you at least agree with me? The next three games is different on the pressure scale than what the last however many have been. These three are biggies.
Oh, no, I say that knowing full well that you could very well be doing the, the champions post. Because anybody who's been in that locker room says, yeah, they seem a little tighter this week.
Really?
Short week. Short week.
That's not good.
You have expectations. You're on the road maybe, immediately.
Hey, maybe that works. Maybe Baker is the type of guy that, all right, you guys are all saying this is a big one. Now it's a big one. Okay.
That's
a nationally televised game.
It's a dogfight game, too. No
Prime
one's going to lay. You shouldn't lay an egg. And they're not going to lay an egg either. They're both playing. They're both trying to make it worth their while. So no one's going to lay down for each other here. And they're a young, very young football team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they come out.
I think
out.
What we're going to find out, what we need to find out from Baker is if he can go and play in a hostile environment and continue to dominate on the road. We've seen him do it at home. Now you went to Houston, you didn't play well. Mm-hmm. Now you get to go to Denver and make up for what you did down in Houston. But you got that pass rush coming. This is going to be a very good test for Baker Mayfield and that mm-hmm. entire offense. So they're going to have to do a great job of scheming the protection, obviously against Von Miller and Chubb on the other side. And if they can do that, they have a shot to win this football game. I'm hyped for this game. I'm very hyped for this game.
Let me get to Will and Medina. Will, you're next up on the fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Morning, Will. Go ahead, bud.
So I hear all these, arguments on why we should keep a coach, why we should keep coach or shouldn't. And, you look at the GM that's making the decision. I think the one thing that would be most important to the GM is not only does he have a head coach in there that's got the guys playing for him, but he's got his guys playing for him. The guys that he drafted are making the difference. You bring in a new coach, what if he doesn't mesh with Baker? What if they fire Greg Williams with a new coach and all of a sudden Denzel Ward doesn't perform the way he's doing now or the team doesn't perform it the way they're doing now?
Well, Will, do you think Baker – I'm sorry to cut you off. Get back in. But are you saying Baker's playing well because he meshes with the coach? Because I think he's playing well because he's a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. Like, I think he'd be playing well for anybody. I mean, and remember, Hugh was not in the offensive room. He wasn't the guy controlling the offense. That could be a criticism of Todd Haley.
That is a criticism, Todd.
Yeah, I think Baker is playing like an elite quarterback, and I think he'd be doing it for me if I were the head coach.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think he is the elite quarterback as well, and I think he will play well anywhere. But at the same point in time, I mean, there could be a history of other great quarterbacks that play really well, but when you don't have a head coach that they necessarily mesh with or an offensive coordinator that says, hey, help me out, let's figure out the offense together. You bring in a guy like, Josh McDaniels, for instance, goes into Denver headstrong, says, no, we're going to do it my way. It could change the whole profile of the team regardless of the talent.
Good point.
Good point, Will. Thank you very much for the call.
He did go 8-8. People forget that. He did go in there headstrong.
Started out 6-0, and then went 8-8.
Yeah, but that's...
Went 2-8 over the last...
But what were they saying 10. When he started out 6-0? Imagine that. Your first six games. How many games has Greg Williams coached?
I don't know. Off the top of my head. How many?
Is it six?
Six?
Yeah, five.
Five games. All right. And
so
we're
coached in five games? Yeah, that's right. He has only
So what if games. We were hosting a show in Denver after those first six games, what would we be saying? We'd say we have the best coach in NFL history.
Yeah,
you got to be careful.
Nobody knows until they go out there and put the product on the field. It's all guesswork. Nobody's going to know. Nobody knows. I don't care what big name you bring in here. It doesn't guarantee them success at the Cleveland Browns.
Joe,
it just doesn't.
Joe in Akron. Joe, you're next up on the fan.
How are you guys? Great show, man.
Thank you. Real good talk.
I speak from experience when I say this, that I've been coaching football for about 22 years at the collegiate level, and I think the trend of offensive coaches getting hired, I mean, obviously it's staggering for head coaching jobs, but I think what a lot of people fail to realize is the fact that defensive coaches on a weekly basis are the ones breaking down the offenses, and they see on a weekly basis the offensive coaches that are really hard to prepare for. I don't think NFL GMs and I don't think the decision makers realize that. And, I think Greg Williams, I've met him a couple times and talked defense with him, is a tremendous football coach. And he understands people from the standpoint of getting to know them and just being on a personal and real level with them. I think John Dorsey needs to take a serious look at Greg Williams as the head football coach because of the relationship that he has with the players. And then I think Freddie Kitchen, obviously his relationship and what he's done with Baker Mayfield since he's got there, I mean, it's been good. And you say, well, Baker Mayfield would be a good quarterback with whoever. I disagree because that position has got to be able to understand from a philosophical standpoint and an X's and O's standpoint, what needs to take place in the offense, from the deep to the intermediate to the check down route, what they're looking for. And, you know, I think you're seeing the fruits of the Cleveland Browns taking a step forward with a guy defensively who knows offense and can say, hey, what about this or what about that? Mm-hmm. And he can say it from both sides. I can also tell you this. I've been in a lot of meetings as a coach, and a lot of offensive coaches walk into the defensive room and say, hey, secondary coach, what's this coverage that they're running? You know, what are they doing here? Whereas defensive coaches, we don't do that. We walk in the offensive room, or we can walk in and say, yeah, they're running a mesh concept. They're doing this, that, and the other, and they're trying to get you high, low on a smash concept. So I really think that the Browns have found something in Greg Williams. That's my take.
What you said. I just want to add on to it when we come back, because I love what he just said, and there's another little factor in there that I think matches up very well with Baker Mayfield and why you can't just pass up on guys just because they're defensive. We'll get into that. And also, I got to tell you, Bruce, starting to get a little bit weird, buddy. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, live on the Fan. We just had Joe in Akron call in, who had several great points about not rolling out a defensive coach. I totally agree, and he had a bunch of good points. One of the reasons I also don't want to rule it out is I think defensive guys can be a good manager of people. They can be disasters at times, but they can be a good manager of people, and they tend to be more intense. And I think that right amount of intensity on the other side of the ball, stay with me on this, Lima, maybe you disagree, can also push Baker and help Baker. I think if you put a level of intensity, or offensive guys seem to be more cerebral, more know-it-all even, maybe that rubs them the wrong way. But I think that it can help on the defensive side if you have an intense guy with an intense quarterback and then a good offensive coordinator working with that quarterback. Kind of like what we're seeing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that when you have a head coach that's so intense when it comes to the defense, like you're saying, when it comes to the defensive side of the football, then you have a quarterback who's ultra competitive. Can you imagine the type of practices they're having and why Baker's getting better? Because, you know, I just think that all of that plays a fact. Like, you are a product of your head coach and his mentality. I love Greg Williams' mentality. I really do. For a young football team that doesn't know any better, they're not a part of this losing streak and all of this foolishness that's been going on the last couple of years. They don't know about any of that. So they're starting to feed off of what Greg Williams is bringing into that locker room as the head now. Before, he had to sit back behind Hugh. Now he's the guy we're looking to. He's the leader. And that's what I love about Greg Williams. I think that he can really get this guy to the next level. We're seeing that so far.
Another name won't go away. Rich Eisen had his show yesterday on Audience Network, and he got a chance to talk to Bruce Arians. Now, Lima, you put Bruce Arians back on the list, right?
After we took him off the list.
So he's back on the list because you said the timing issue of it with young quarterbacks. You found a nice loophole there. Very nice. Didn't think that was nuts whatsoever. But here's Bruce Arians yesterday, where he just keeps getting asked and keeps talking about the Browns job.
Yeah, I'd love to listen to what Mr. Dorsey and Mr. Haslam have to say. I've always had this fondness for Cleveland, and I wanted that job almost every time it came open and never got an interview, so I doubt I'll get one this time, too.
Why do you doubt that?
I don't know. I just, it was just one of those things a reporter asked me, and, you know, it got some gas, and but I haven't denied it.
That's courtesy Audience and Fox Sports Radio.
This is something else here, because clearly they have not interviewed him.
You're making me feel, they have not interviewed him.
Unless, you want a theory? You want a crazy theory?
Okay.
Unless he's doing this because he doesn't want to distract the current players and the coaching staff, who if he said, oh yeah, no, I've talked to him, we've talked in depth, we had an 8-hour meeting, now all of a sudden players are going to be asked, what do you think of Bruce Arians? What do you think of Bruce Arians? And then Greg Williams is like, what the... I'm coaching a team and we're winning games.
Well, why don't we just go in there and ruin everything anyway and just ask about Bruce Arians anyway?
Well, you could, I guess, theoretically.
You're a media guy. You could ask anything you really wanted.
So, Jonathan, at first I was against Bruce Arians because I wanted the coach who's going to coach Baker for the next 15 years. And obviously Arians is 66 this year. But then I thought about it and I said, the way the NFL works now, when you're not paying your starting quarterback, which they're not, for another 3 years after this year, your window to load up on free agents and to have the most depth you're ever going to have in the Baker Mayfield era is going to be the next 3 years.
Yes.
So why not get a proven head coach like Bruce Arians then they'll keep Freddie Kitchens, so they'll keep the continuity. I'll have to go work somewhere else, maybe in Lima, Ohio, because of the what I said earlier on the show. And then who cares after that? Because Baker's really good. You're going to get the best candidates after that, or you'd elevate Freddie Kitchens.
Well, at the end of the day, if you're asking me between those two, give me Greg Williams. Like, it just doesn't make any sense for you to go out and bring him in. If you might as well keep Greg, if you're going to do that.
We
period.
Keep getting asked about him.
He's proven head coach. He's a proven good head coach.
Okay,
Greg Williams is not.
What's proven?
Does it not seem a little?
What's proven? What is he proven?
I mean, come on. You want to read his resume?
Yes, I do. Yeah, run it to me.
Does it not seem forced to you, like a little bit weird?
Yeah, it does.
Like every single week he's doing a show. He won't come on in Cleveland, probably smartly. But he does a show every single week, and he says these things about, I still got this 216 number, and I'm still wanting to be a Browns head coach. And I know we do this to you all the time when you tweet a Robin Meade and Holly Saunders, but I'm sorry. It sounds overwhelmingly desperate, like he's leering in the bushes outside of 76 Lou Groza over here.
Yeah, I'd love to listen to what Mr. Dorsey and Mr. Haslam have to say. I've always had this fondness for Cleveland, and I wanted that job almost every time it came open and never got an interview, so I doubt I'll get one this time, too.
Why do you doubt that?
I don't know. I just it was just one of those things a reporter asked me, and, it got some gas, and but I haven't denied it.
Audio audience, Fox Sports in Cape Fear.
All right, counselor. Every man has to go through hell to reach paradise, counselor. You do have to watch this movie.
Yeah, I do.
We do got to get you to watch this movie.
Yeah, I will.
Classic.
He's sitting out there in the visitor's lot laughing really loudly and bothersome working out.
Doing pull-ups in the yard out there in Berea.
Does that on the broadcast with Greg Gumbel. Greg said, if I could just get a word in. Thought that play was great.
He will not let it go. Wells, he's mentioned it 7 times on national interviews.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I mean, listen, he's selling himself.
Is he leaving voicemails in Berea?
Hugh Jr.
Does Greg Williams pull out of his parking spot and there's a car on the other side nice car. Might want to check the brakes. Nice car.
I'd be terrified.
You see the top of a Kangol hat on a smoked out window.
Greg Williams better watch wherever he goes. Especially don't go on that boat trip.
Said his heart's perfectly fine now. He's been cured.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's totally healthy now.
Baker Mayfield is not just a great quarterback and raises hundreds of thousands of dollars in charity like he did earlier this week. He also cures heart problems. Folks, you have Jesus Christ as the quarterback. It's the Savior is here, quite literally here. Wow. Like that, he keeps doing it, and I'm like, Bruce Arians is a good coach. Bruce Arians is a good coach. And then he does another interview. I'm like, this is getting weird. I'm done.
I mean, this isn't going away. He realizes it's a tight time frame, and the more that Greg Williams wins football games, the less and less a chance Bruce Arians has to get that job.
Jonathan, go ahead.
This almost reminds me of like someone trying to break into radio. Like they just keep sending that resume to the program director.
I talked to Diane. I talked to Diane, your HR woman, and she said I'd get an interview.
They're friending everyone on Facebook and Twitter and sending DMs. Can you do you know if they filled that position? You know,
I reached out to Ken on LinkedIn. He didn't say anything.
Did they do that? I don't even know my password.
Oh,
anymore.
There was a guy who did that.
Are you serious?
Every day for the first 2 years of this station. There's a difference between persistence and stalking.
Oh, man, I hit you up on LinkedIn.
But Anthony and Ken, I left a message on Diane's windshield. Yeah, that's not normal. Don't do that.
If she don't make decisions, you gotta leave messages on Ken's windshield.
Jonathan, you're gonna be on tomorrow night, right? With Lima?
Yes, sir.
6:30.
6 to 8.
Oh, we're gonna have some fun Saturday night.
Turn
we are up. Gonna have some fun.
Turn up.
Do I have to go on with you guys? I bet I do, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Great.
Don't sound so happy about it.
Will this be, and we did during the Pettine year, so I want to be fair, that what? Colts game was pretty big that they lost, the Atlanta game that they ended up winning on a last-second field goal, even though the clock management was terrible. Is this the biggest pregame show that we have had in 7 years of doing the pregame show?
Yes. It has to be. It's a playoff game.
Best show up with your game face.
It's a playoff game.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Got an interesting question about those Pettine years coming up at around 806, 807. Got some interesting Indians news as well. And just basically what the hell they're doing with the news dump with Jeff Thomas live on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.